reading that. 1 Timothy. Qualifications for elders. Today does mark a very special and a solemn day for Brother Lee, but for all of us. We don't take these things or enter into these things lightly at all. The office of an elder or a pastor is God's design. It's His plan for His church. That's what makes it so precious and enduring. That's what God has. We see this in the book of Acts. It's really where it begins. You see the beginning of elders, shepherds, and then you see it mentioned numerous times throughout the epistles. So this picture of elders, pastors, overseers is throughout the New Testament. But I want to say clearly, or remind us, the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd who keeps His church. It's not about men. It's Jesus Christ. Say, He said that, He does that, He has through the ages. No other organization in the history of man could ever endure if it was kept by men. It always collapses, it always fails. So Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. He purchased us with His own precious blood. We're His. But part of the way He keeps His church is He raises up under shepherds, shepherds here in the flock to care for His people. He does it. So it is serious. It is biblical. And it is a great blessing. Indeed. So before Lee is set in the office of elder today, I would like to give a charge to the church. We've been going through 1 Timothy and Paul's charging Timothy and all these things, so it seems to be the fitting word. I'm going to charge the church and Brother Mac is going to charge Brother Lee. And I trust, I'm going to do this quickly, I trust that this will prepare your heart for his role as an elder. Or how you view him, how you love him, how you look to him as one of the shepherds who in God's timing and for God's purpose is here to help lead and shepherd and feed the flock of God. Let me give a few reminders to start with. These will be quick. Number one, remember this. Brother Lee doesn't feel sufficient for this calling. I know he doesn't. What man does feel sufficient? It is a huge calling, responsibility, placement of God. And so, I know that that's what he would say, that he doesn't feel sufficient. He wants to serve faithfully, already is, has been. He wants to serve the church faithfully, yet he feels the weight, the enormous weight of the responsibility. It's not a small thing at all. At all. But his abiding hope in this insufficiency that he feels, his abiding hope is that Jesus Christ owns the church and therefore Christ will use him. That's his hope. I could say that's his confidence above all. So that's the first thing. He doesn't feel sufficient. No man who really sees the task or the calling could ever think of himself sufficient, but God ordains. Second, remember, this is not his profession. This is a calling on his life. Professions are what men create, right? But God calls men to shepherd in his flock. So we want to keep that in proper view. He has been raised up, set apart, and equipped by God. I can say it this way. God had ordained this before Lee was ever born. God rules in all things. He's before, during, and after all things. He's in everything. So, this is God's calling. He's not the product of men. He is Christ's vessel. U.S. Airways and American Airlines can shift CEOs. They can do all that they do with their structure and their power and their corporate dealings. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about Jesus Christ putting into His church men and this brother to serve the church. Acts 20:28, you remember, says, the Holy Spirit. Paul said to the Ephesian elders, the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. That's what's come about here. So that's the second thing. These are just quick reminders. Third reminder. Or remember this. I know this from just watching His life and hearing His words and seeing His care for God's people. Lee desires more than anything else the good of your souls. That's what He desires more than anything. He is not after a career advancement. He is not after getting a name for Himself, and He is not striving for a place of power over people. That's not what He's after. What Lee longs for and will give his life for is to see you grow in grace and your soul be fed and helped. If we put it in a phrase, His greatest hope is that all of you would grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You hear how I said that? All of you. Little Juliana, one day as God brings that girl into her years of growth, that God would make her a child of God and that Lee would be a means to feed her and help her. So it's all of you. As the Apostle Paul said, the real focus should be that Christ be formed in you. Remember how he said that in Galatians 4, Christ be formed. Okay, well, so with these three reminders to help you, what should be your heart attitude towards Lee as your elder? What would the Scriptures charge you in this matter? Well, let's hear some pillar truths from God's Word that will help you. It'll help you today and this week and in the years to come. Pillar truths. Number one, realize, beloved, that the Lord has ordained Lee to feed you. Feed you. Spiritual food. Truth. That which will profit you. Things that would help you. 1 Peter 5, when Peter says, the elders that are among you, and he said, I'm one of you. He said, remember, feed the flock of God which is among you. One of the chief callings, as was just listed in those qualifications, he has to be a teacher. He has to impart truth, feeding you, as Piper says, to study to know God so that I can help show God to you, feed you truth. That's a calling that he has. Therefore, you are to be fed. View that as a special thing, that I want to be fed, I want to be helped. He's going to nourish you. One sentence, one paragraph, one sermon, exhortations, admonitions, a phone call. Let him nourish you. Let him feed you God's Word. For those of us who got to sit there that night that he did the overview of William Bradford a few weeks ago, Jeff and I have kind of looked at each other several times since then. It was just, I sat there like a child listening to Lee teach and just give such great things to the men that night. It was just phenomenal. It was the grace of God. So be hungry in the right way. If he's there to feed you and to nourish your soul, then come with an appetite to be fed. God will strengthen you. And don't have a what I'd call a critical or a skeptical spirit. But have a spirit that's ready to hear, ready to receive, ready to grow. So many churches have people way back, sitting on the edges, testing everything. I don't believe that. Whatever. Not at all. We want to all be here ready to feast. God gives us truth. And the shepherds feed the flock. Not building empires, they're feeding the flock that we would grow, that Christ is formed in you. So he feeds. Beloved, be ready to feast. Second, realize the Lord has ordained Lee to watch for your soul. Now you talk about big stuff here. Watching for the souls of men. This is big. This is heavy. I have children. I have numerous children. I have grown children, younger children with in the home, and grandchildren, and those that you're watching for. You're trying to help, and it's never ending, right? It's big, but you have to even take that into a different context with the church of God. To watch for the souls of men. Hebrews 13:17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? For they watch for your souls. There it is. They watch for your souls. And they do it because they're going to give an account. although Mac and I don't say this to each other really very often, maybe we do it our own way, I never feel like I'm fulfilling all that I need to be doing for you. You just never feel you're doing enough. You feel very spread thin. You feel weak. But by the grace of God, Lee is already and will continue to watch for your soul. What a gift of God. Watching includes some things, right? It includes guarding you from harm. There's going to be times where Brother Lee says to another brother, "Hey, brother, you better be careful about that. Don't go there. Cut that thing off or be careful." So guarding, watching for your soul means encouraging you, helping you, bringing you along, standing beside you, in a sense, holding your hand, bringing you back into the way, encouraging you in Christian growth, speaking truth into your life. This kind of goes back to that thing of feeding. And also watching for your soul deals with admonishing, exhorting and admonishing you to holiness, a lifestyle of holiness, to press on, to seek first the kingdom of God, to cut off the things of the flesh, walk in the Spirit, look to Him, trust Him, walk in always worthy of His name. He's going to say those things to you. He's going to drop you an email or a text. He's going to write a note. But above all, He's going to live it by God's grace in Him. So He's going to watch by these kinds of things. Beloved, count it a privilege to be watched for. You know what I'm saying? Count it a privilege to be watched for. I had, as a boy and growing up, and then I was converted, I had a pastor who loved me. It was a bigger church, but honestly, it wasn't until the spring, summer, really the summer of 1986, I was 25 years old, that I began to understand what it meant to be watched for. It was a profound new part of the Christian life, to be watched, to be fed, and to be watched for. My wife, to be watched for and to be encouraged. So it's real. So be fed, or be ready to be fed, and be thankful to be watched for. Submit yourselves. Let Him help you and watch for you. Third, realize the Lord has ordained Lee as one whose faith you can follow. Now, he probably wouldn't want to say that. It's a lot easier for me to say these things about him than to try to say it about ourselves. But God has ordained him to be a man. There are things about his life that I already look to and I just admire deeply. And look, I learn from him. We all will. But his faith, Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God. There's the teaching and the warning. Whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Whose faith follow. Saints, learn to follow His faith, His life, for your good. Learn from His Christian growth and maturity in the faith. The things that God's given him. He's an earthen vessel. The treasure of God has been instilled in him. And therefore, he has something to offer you. Children, remember this. Brother Lee is going to be, at this point, he's a shepherd. He helps you. You ought to listen to him. You ought to take things seriously. And his life, probably as much as anything, the shepherd, the pastor, has to live a life that the saints admire and look to and follow. Their faith, how they live, how they view things, how they analyze things, how they see this world, how they see the struggles, how they see pressing on, living the truth, raising children, being a husband, countless things. This is lived out. The Christian life is lived. Christ in us, the hope of glory, being lived out. His faith follow. He has godliness that you can imitate. I think the ESV actually uses that word, does it not? Imitate. The King James says, follow it, pattern after it, imitate it. We're not trying to be Him. We're trying to learn from His life, His faith, and follow those attributes, those qualities about His life. You can pattern areas of your life after this, after Him. Matt continues to shape so much of the way I view things. And what I read and how I study and how I grow, he has been for 25 years. we labor together, but in a sense, we follow each other's faith in a kind of an amazing way. I mean, I think sometimes, well, what would I really have to offer? Well, he is here as a man whose faith you are to follow. Mac and I constantly think of the godly men who are examples to us. All the time. I'm always thinking of different ones. And just the example of different aspects of their life. Not just one thing, but different men, different places. I mean, you get around Tim Conway, and I've not been around him very often. But he is serious-minded. He is zealous about the things of God. That's just who he is, right? Mark LeCurry, such a thinker, such a man who analyzes and puts truth into day-to-day life, how he can articulate truth. So you see what I'm saying? Whose faith, whose life, follow his life in the right way. And lastly, fourth, realize that the Lord has ordained Brother Lee as one you should esteem very highly in love. The employees of American Airlines, U.S. Airways, probably are not told they have to love or esteem their supervisors all the way up to the CEO. They might. Every now and then, it might be a rare thing. You use the word love in corporate America, somebody's going to flip out. They're not going to understand what in the world you're talking about. You see what I'm saying? We're talking about an organization in the world that's run by systems of men. We're talking about a living body of people in Jesus Christ. And therefore, love is the chief virtue, right? It's the ultimate expression of the body of Jesus Christ. So, he is to be loved and cherished and esteemed. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord." Here he goes. "And admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake." Esteem him very highly for his labor of love for you. Respect his labor, his work. Respect him in the things that he's about, meaning working towards to help the entire church and to help individuals. And love him deeply. Show love. It's not just something you feel. It's something that you show. Express that to him. In word, in deed, and in actions with each other. So he is here to be loved and esteemed very highly. So four things, church, that I charge you, remind you, and put before you from Scripture. Realize that he's here to feed you. Let him feed and nourish your soul. Second, realize he's here to watch for your soul and to care for you and guard you and keep you in the ways of righteousness and holiness. Third, his life, his faith, his godliness, his maturity, where he is, follow those things. Look to those things as examples to you. And lastly, esteem him very highly in love for the work he does within the body of Jesus Christ. Cherish that. Let me close this part by saying, reading a quick excerpt. I had said that maybe the prevailing statement is, his labor is to see Christ formed in you. That puts it in a good phrase. Well, Jonathan Edwards went to be at an ordination service in 1746. That's, for anybody who wants to do the math, it's 267 years ago. He went and he spoke and he preached at Samuel Buell's ordination service, and it was captured, right? All those sermons meticulously were saved. And it's just a phenomenal sermon. But listen to this statement, because I think this maybe gets to the essence of what I'm charging you today. Faithful ministers are made the instruments of leading the people of God in the way to heaven, conducting them to the glorious presence of the bridegroom, to the consummate joys of her marriage with the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. God help you to love Him and esteem Him in the Lord.
I will just quote this one verse that you have already heard from 1 Timothy 3. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to or desires to the office of an elder or an overseer, he desires a noble task. It's a high calling. And this will be my charge, Brother Lee, today. I'll let you all in on it. But this is what I'd say if we were at Starbucks sitting across the table from one another, charging him to enter this wonderful calling. The call to the Christian ministry is more unique than any other vocational calling. It does not make Lee or any man better than others. It does not mean that other vocations in life, an architect, a computer programmer, a pilot, doesn't mean that other vocations in life are not God's calling to that vocation. They are. You men, many of you have been laboring for years in the area that God has assigned you in this world, in your vocation, in your work. And some of you will yet enter into that in the future. Those vocations are not, in God's eyes, they're not secular, they're holy. Whether you fly a plane, or you work at a computer, or you work in insurance, or insuring expensive horses, like Michael Pelley does. Those are God's calling to a vocation. But the gospel ministry, those called to the office of an elder, it means that God calls men to do that specifically. And He plans it from eternity. Today, Brother Lee, your calling and installation as an elder in Providence Chapel is to minister, to serve, to preach, to teach, to shepherd, to pastor the flock of God over which the Holy Spirit today is officially making you an overseer. You have been called by God, by Christ, by your elders, and by the saints here to be a minister in this body as an elder. And today, you are being ordained in pursuit of and in obedience to that call. Now, there are two main functions for a preacher who is a pastor or an elder. There are two main functions given to an elder in the gospel ministry. These two are the preaching of the word, which Philip alluded to. Your responsibility is to be fed. But Lee's responsibility will be to feed the flock of God. Feed them with what? The best of food. The sweetest of the honey. The finest of the bread. God. These two functions are the preaching of the word and the pastoral care of the flock. I want to charge you today and encourage you about these two things. First, the duty of preaching and teaching. You are to labor in the word and in doctrine. And I want to remind you of three things about this specifically. Number one, in relation to preaching, don't allow anything to deprive you of the time and energy necessary when it's your turn to do it, to adequately prepare. If you're not fully prepared Saturday evening and you got to be alone and I call you and say, Lee, I've got a flat tire, can you come and help me? You should say, brother, can you get someone else? I've got to work at the word and doctrine. That'd be hard to do, wouldn't it? So I probably wouldn't call you if I knew you were preparing. My point, it's a silly illustration, but the point is this. Being with people cannot rob you of being alone in preparation. So do not let people or busyness or things rob you of preparing for this task of preaching and teaching and feeding the flock. The Word of God in all its richness, all its fullness, all its sufficiency is there in your hands. Regularly it lies open before you. And it says to you, unfold my meaning. declare me, proclaim me, make clear my truths. And that which is necessary to do that when it's your assigned moment is uninterrupted time to toil, to labor, searching and laboring in the Scriptures to be adequately prepared and ready. Don't be robbed by other things in your preparation, for this is your first calling. That's the first thing about preaching. Second thing about preaching, realize continually and progressively, increasingly, your complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit for accurate understanding and effectual proclamation. Realize continually and increasingly, as an elder, your complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Your ongoing, absolute dependence on the Spirit of God. Because it is He alone that makes any ministry effectual. He alone is the one who opens men's eyes and opens men's hearts to the truth that you're speaking. Your preaching ability, your personality, your intellect, your ability to speak will help no one receive the truth. It is the Spirit alone that makes the truth life-giving to anyone. And it will be as you progressively realize your complete dependence upon the Holy Spirit that you will be more diligent in the work that you are called to. So, don't be robbed of time in preparing to preach. Realize your complete dependence on the Holy Spirit in the task. And thirdly, concerning preaching, think often of the undeserved privilege you are given. God did not call you because you deserve this. He didn't call you because you're a better or smarter man or more of a man than others. It is a grace privilege, always and forever. And while you are to remember your responsibility, I want to impress on you today to appreciate, I want to impress on you the appreciation of this privilege. It's yours to be a man of gospel proclamation. It is yours to be an ambassador of the King of Kings. It is yours to preach the gospel of the blessed God. There is no greater vocation on the earth. You would have to step down to become President of the United States if you are a preacher of the gospel. To proclaim it is yours, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Keep this privilege ever in your heart and always see it as a privilege. That's my charge to you about preaching. Don't let things interfere with preparation. Realize your complete dependence on the Spirit and think much of this privilege continually. Then the second part of your work is pastoral care. Now, Philip was stealing all my thunder. He hit these things, didn't he? He admonished you to be fed. I'm admonishing lead his responsibility to feed. He admonished you to function in such a way toward Lee that you make it easy for him to care for your soul. Well, my admonition to Lee is, who is sufficient for these things? No one. No one within ourselves, but Christ makes His called men sufficient by His grace to labor in the new covenant. So, this pastoral care, the first thing I would say is, I would charge you to shepherd the church of God. It is hard to understand men who call themselves pastors. And if they pastor a 20,000 member church, they have a much greater reckoning and responsibility than I will. I've got enough to account to God for. But for the life of me, I cannot understand men who would call themselves someone's pastor and they don't know them. They don't know the sheep. They don't have time to know them. They don't care for them. You can't get an appointment with them often if you're even in their church. You have to see someone in their lesser capacity. I can't understand men called to preach who neglect the true regular care of the saints. You ought to do that. You're to shepherd them, to care for them, to carry them on your heart. to pursue them, to visit them, but to become acquainted with their lives, their needs, their temptations, their struggles, to have a heart of love for them, for them to know you care about them. Your preaching cannot be abstract and unrelated to those who are under your oversight. As a pastor, as a caring shepherd, you are always to have a heart to rejoice with those who rejoice, to have a tender heart toward the brokenhearted, to have a seeking heart toward one you discern might be wayward. Go after them. I love the story about John MacArthur. Do you remember this story? Here's MacArthur, big church, and there was a young believer that these Jehovah's Witnesses were trying to, they were bugging him and finally interested him to come to their Bible study. MacArthur found out about it. He got in his car and he drove and he broke in on the situation and he said, "Bill, come on with me. You don't need to be here." That is watching for the souls individually. You are to have a guarding heart for the saints and the flock if others might harm them spiritually. In season, out of season. One night, it was about 9:30, I was dog tired. I was preparing to climb in bed and somebody called and said, "Could you come and pray with us?" And I went. Did I feel like it? No. Did I feel some leading of God to go? No. I went because I knew it was out of season for me, but it was in season for them. They needed prayer and they called me, and so I went. As a pastor, you must be a shepherd in season and out of season to shepherd the church of God. Also in this pastoral care, you must always be mindful of this, that you are, first and foremost, the servant of Christ before men. Walk in humility. Don't ever give in to conceit because you are in a ministry office. A conceited or self-important minded elder is an offense to God and will be an offense to any discerning Christian. You smell it. You sense it, you see it in a man who may be called, but he's taken with himself. Self-importance seems to creep in and think, you know, "I've arrived." Don't let such a thing be named about you. Be friendly. Walk in humility. Realize your own limitations. You won't always have what everyone needs or even any, in particular, one person, what they need, but Christ will. And you are continually, primarily, the servant of Jesus Christ. Men will disappoint you. Sheep that you've loved will leave, and you'll be wounded. You'll be disappointed sometimes in people that you pour your heart into and you give time and energy and love to, and then down the road, they will take off. Well, it's then that you remember, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ, and He's unchanging, and His call is unchanging. So that's my charge to you, dear brother, to feed the flock of God in preaching and teaching and labor therein, and don't be robbed in it, and remain faithful to it, and to shepherd the flock of God with a shepherd's loving heart. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 is Paul's admonition to you personally, and it's my closing admonition to you today. I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead by His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, Brother Lee, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Brother Lee, would you come and we're going to pray over you. I'll ask Philip and Jeff if they would come. Yes.
Father, we receive him.
Thank you. Jesus and Paul and say,